And welcome back to the Team Effort. I'm Ed Cavalier. We're here to help you be a better person. With me, of always, is, of course, our producer, our fact checker, Jay. Hello, mates.
Hello.
Hit that intro music, please.
Look at this photograph.
Nickel. Yeah, thank you.
More like it.
Back into the team effort, all about being in the moment. There's no point just sitting there, just being a grown adult, pulling mad cones all day, playing Call of Duty online against Malaysian school kids, or a barista that spends so much money on Frida Kahlo tattoos and Sea Shepherd t-shirts that you don't have enough money for a house deposit. No, today we are learning to be in the moment, not too far ahead, not dwelling in the past. With me as always is Jay, and here in the present is comedian, author, and kerning enthusiast, Mr. Tony Martin. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you.
The man who lives in the present more than anyone else I know. So much so that it almost seems like he may not be aware the future is coming. It's comedian and brand ambassador Ash Williams.
Hello.
Making his first appearance in the team effort is writer, actor, and party animal, Mr. Rob Carlton.
Hey, hey.
Buns of Steel, and also making his debut, he's managed to write a whole book during these intros, Mr. Tom Gleisner.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Let's start with a quote about being in the moment. Who said this? Do not dwell in the past. Do not dream of the future. Concentrate the mind on the present moment. Any ideas who would have said that, guys? Jump in.
Warwick Kappa.
My God.
Incredible.
You are joking, right?
I am, but that's what I had written as the joke.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The answer, of course, was the Buddha, Rob Carlton.
Oh, the fat and happy Buddha.
The fat and... Ooh, accent work.
Mate, doing what I can.
Don't get us started.
It's part of my diversity and inclusion tilt.
There you go.
I'm on that too.
Yeah, mate.
Yep, I've got a Sea Shepherd. I just can't commit to buying the T-shirt. Why is that? Because I'm pro-whaling. Tom, let's talk about the Logies.
Indeed.
We were there together.
We were.
Our table was so far up the back that the only table behind us was the guys from the NRL. And I think recent events have told us why they need to be sitting in the dark.
Absolutely. In fact, to reach the stage, we had to go through the kitchen.
Grabbed an hors d'oeuvre.
It was a long way up, wasn't it?
And Tone, you did a great job in honouring the late, great John Clarke.
Thank you.
What I didn't see until on the tape, because weirdly, Tommy, as we got up the second time and went right off the stage, Tone walked on the left, we missed each other.
There's a lot of choreography backstage.
Yes.
Indeed.
But it was fun but tricky because you can't do any of your own gear. That would be tasteless.
Right.
So I only had John's own material.
Yes, but you did a great job. Now, the clip that you picked, which was very funny of him being a used car salesman.
That's from a film called Never Say Die, made in New Zealand in 1988, and we had to send away for a VHS copy from a video shop. It's the only way you can get it. It never came out on DVD.
Did they come to you and say, hey, listen, do you want to do this? What's a clip we should play? And you thought of that clip.
They wanted to do, like a package.
A montage sort of,
The problem is those interviews he would do, with Brian Dore, if you just take a line from it, you don't know who he's playing because he's the same person. It's quite hard to do. Mm. Yeah. So I thought, let's just have one scene that's funny all the way through.
Did you remember that scene or did you go back and
I remember that scene because I remember seeing that in the cinema in Auckland and that was the only scene that people woke up for. Oh, there was one other moment. There's a car chase at the beginning of the film where the car that was being chased went past the cinema we were sitting in. In Auckland, and the audience went mental.
Oh my God, it's us!
I don't know. A child got up and ran for the door, like maybe he could see the car going past the cinema.
If I'm quick enough,
wow!
There was that moment and Clarkey's scene, which, by the way, was shot in Melbourne because John Clarke refused to fly on planes because he had a fear of flying. Oh. So
he was already in Australia by the time they made the movie.
So they flew the entire cast and crew over to where he lived, set up that used car yard in an empty lot next to his house.
Right.
He came out, improvised the whole scene, went back into his house. Everyone flew back to New Zealand.
So it wasn't a love of Australia that kept him here?
No. I think he was involved in a near plane disaster at some point.
And that was it for him.
And just wouldn't fly again.
Well, while you were on stage, Tony, honouring John Clarke, Ed, Sampang and myself were backstage at the press. After you receive a Logie, they usher you back and there's, all the press are back there to fire questions at you. Yeah. I've never seen a more disinterested bunch. Even... Even Channel 10 show business reporter Angela Bishop was texting.
It was so good. She was texting, who are these fuckwits, yeah, to somebody else.
So we had to sort of conduct it ourselves, didn't we? Any questions? No?
And the only question was, some bloke who clearly maybe doesn't know who Tom is or had never seen him before or whatever, he just goes, hey, hi. What do you regret from your career?
That's right, yes.
And I was like, Tom, and your answer was great. It was like, not much, mate.
This.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, and someone asked Sam Pang for a Crown Lager. That was a bad.
But I have to say, there was a beautiful symmetry, and congratulations on winning
absolutely.
Those awards, because you won the most outstanding and best.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember this, Tom, those are the same awards that The Late Show won in 1994.
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember what happened, but we thought we weren't going to win. There was no way we were going to win. I think it was Fast Forward was the biggest comedy show, and Hey Hey It's Saturday were nominated.
The Love Sale.
So the Love...
if I got that wrong.
The Comedy Sale.
The Comedy Sale. Comedy Sale. Sorry. The Love Sale, something else, Robbie.
That's right. That's one of Ash's titles you can Google. But no, so what happened was we thought we're not going to win, so we sent Pete Smith along.
Oh.
And we won twice, so Pete had to go up twice, and the Logies people were furious.
We were in the audience, and we were a cutaway, but they were very angry that we didn't get up
No, but you were a cutaway as the characters from Frontline, if you remember.
Is that right?
Do you remember this? You went, oh, we can use
the footage for
the
Frontline.
And you went along, because I remember Mike Moore. Rob Sitch had the Mike Moore helmet head on, but no one knew who Mike Moore was, so there was all this... Rob Sitch has started wearing this giant wig.
Rob's got a bizarre wig on.
But you guys, so you had the characters in the audience to be used in Frontline, but I remember they said, they were so furious, they said, and we heard off the record, you will never be nominated for a Logie again.
Wow.
So it was so great that you guys, and 23 years later, but what I will say is Pete Smith got up, and of course he had sung... Dude Looks Like a Lady on our show, and he got the biggest laugh of the night because he just held up the award and went, Dude Looks Like a Logie.
Hey.
And it was like a 35-second laugh.
That's a great bit of footage.
Boom.
Hang on. If we're talking Logies, something that my girlfriend spotted with you either accepting an award at the Logies or maybe the AFI Awards, or presenting with Miranda Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
What?
And I remember my girlfriend saying, how happy does Rob Carlton
look to be on stage for Miranda
Kerr? And look, and that actually wasn't a mistake.
I'm surprised you didn't drop the famous line.
I noticed. what had happened, so I've been at a number of awards and I often get asked to present awards at these things. And what I noticed is that there seems to be a certain, some sort of algorithm, like an aesthetic quotient, where there needs to be a certain amount of hotness on stage.
Yeah. Right.
With a face like this, they tend to pair you up with some really attractive ladies.
Mm.
So I kind of noticed this was going on, and I'd been, handed out an award with Matilda Brown, who's an amazing sort of gifted actor and writer and director and a beautiful woman. Elizabeth Debicki. There was a sort of whole host. And there was the fellow that was organising the AFI. I took him aside. I said, mate, is it true that you're kind of worried that the audience might kind of like avert their gaze or shy away should you send me up there by myself? Right. And so you pair me up with the most beautiful women in the world. He said, look, it may be subconscious. It's not like we don't have a policy on this stuff, but now you mention it, it's ringing true.
Yeah.
And then that was that. Now, the Miranda Kerr incident was 3 days later, and I've arrived and I've walked past that fellow. He's looked at me, he's given me a wink. He says, you just wait, mate.
You just wait.
Now, the only final thing, so I did get to present an award with Miranda, and I do tend to arrive at those things and write my own bits. That particular one we were writing, I did write in a little kiss.
Did you write a kiss in for yourself?
And Miranda kissed me.
Oh.
It was lovely. It was deeply manipulative.
What kind of kiss, Rob?
Oh, a chaste
stage
kiss on the cheek.
Have you got the videos?
Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah.
I think it was televised, Ash. I think generally footage is about... We're doing the award, aren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
No, and just very quickly, I was at the Logies, Ed, on the red carpet.
Yeah, what's with you? But we didn't see you in the room, but then weirdly when I got home... my wife had paused a bit of the thing because you didn't have a ticket to get into the room. So I found it very strange that my wife had paused a bit on the TV that when Jessica Malboy was singing, that you were standing at the front table dancing.
So I can get
to that. Now, how did you get in?
So, Tommy, do you remember I saw you just before the ceremony.
And you said you were presenting.
Hang on, it's not the same way you get into the Melbourne Cup every year, is it?
Sadly, no.
Jumps the fence,
jumped the fence. But so I got in after about half an hour, and I didn't have a table. So the first table I sat on was the guys from the block, and they just won the Logie. Yeah. And I said, guys, congrats. I'm Ash. Is that the Logie? Do you mind? And then I started taking pictures with it. And they said, hang on.
I think the phrase is plugging that we found.
And then they said, hang on, we haven't even taken photos with it. I said, oh, you get your turn in a second. And then Lee Sales comes up to me and says, Ash, what are you doing? You know, do you want to come backstage and present an award? You know, I said, of course I would. Who are we doing it with? She said, Liz Hayes. And I said, you beauty. So we went backstage, saw you, Tone.
Right.
And do you remember seeing me?
Yeah, I remember seeing you with Lee Sales and going, are they a couple?
Is this a thing?
Has this flowered from our podcast?
Exactly. So then Lee breaks it to me that I'm not presenting. So I'm like, okay, that's devastating.
So was that heartbreaking? And you'd been a presenter there for 5 minutes in your mind. Yeah. I mean, to have that taken away.
I mean,
is that an emotional moment or living in the moment, you just press on?
I thought I'd be a great guy to present the best current affairs show, and it was going to be Liz and...
a man who is going to appear on a number of these programs.
And then Lee went to present and never came back to get me. So I was milling backstage and everyone thought I was presenting, like Larry Emder and Pete Hellier thinks my career is going great. He's like, mate, great work.
Well done.
And then I was backstage for about an hour.
But you were telling people that Larry Emder said, are you presenting? And you said...
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So he had cause to think.
Yeah. So then I thought...
That's not on Larry.
No, it's not on Larry.
No, that's not on Larry or Pete, is it?
Exactly. So then I went out and I thought, bugger this, I'm getting a seat. And I sat on Jess Mowboy's table, right? And then she gets up to perform and she's singing and then everyone's like, all right, this is Jess's table, everyone up. I sat on the wrong bloody table. Ooh. No other tables were dancing. And I had my back to Jess and they're all up, like giving it a dance. And I thought, fuck, I'm going to have to dance.
Yeah.
So then we're dancing and then the camera comes around to me for a close up and I'm just giving it everything I can. And that's what made the telecast.
Mate, well,
I got kicked out not long after that.
Mate, it seems like a small price for entry. You know, a dance.
Exactly.
One of the great photos I own is the one, the only Michael Bublé.
Whoa.
Sitting on my lap at the Logies,
Jesus.
crooning.
What did he sing to you?
To me. Oh, mate, you can't. You're
just
kidding
haven't
me?
Still you're kidding haven't me? Met you, the one, the ad.
Yeah, just, I've got idea what the song was. I was looking into those sparkly eyes.
He does one of my favourite ads, which is he does an ad for Smooth FM, which is, you know, destroying all ratings tone despite the fact. What I love was when they get the ratings books and they've won again, is they have to quickly try and assemble the people that pre-record their shows 3 months earlier. So they just get sort of cardboard cutouts of Mel Doyle and Richard Wilkins and they sort of put them all around awkwardly. And he's in one of the ads for it. And Tom, it is so clear that he has no idea what the ad's for.
No.
Because he just goes, and just, haven't met you yet. And then sits down and looks at the camera and goes, it's my choice. Is it Michael?
He had no idea the ad. Is that the pet food one or is that the car insurance? No, that was the radio station in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
Should I change the line? No,
please. Yeah,
great work.
That's what they got you for. Tommy, you want to talk about massages, and I'm glad you do.
I want to know, do you guys, Ash, are you a massage person? You ever get massages on a semi-regular basis? Or not? Some people hate to be touched.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely semi-regular. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. You've got to stay healthy.
And Ed, do you have a massage?
With Ash, there's certainly something that's semi most of the time he's getting massage.
It's certainly regular.
Yep.
It's on the regular. Quick anecdote about Ash Tone, where the other day we'd finished he was doing his comedy show and I got together with him. We had a bit of a bite to breakfast and we were just sort of going through some of the bits, you know, doing some work, as Ash would say, and we finished that and then Ash said, oh, I'm out of tired. Oh, she's sitting ready to get a massage out here. And I said, finally, Ash, there's a Blue Lotus just sort of here. We could go in there. And he went, yeah, all right. And we walked in and there was a woman behind the counter and Ash said, it's half an hour, thanks. Just look, shoulders and that and neck. And she goes, okay, look, there's only a male available at the moment. And Ash, your response was?
How old is he?
I mean, that's terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ageist, but...
I want
to
know.
She responded 28.
Yeah.
And you said?
I think I said, okay.
No.
Strong? No. What did I say?
No, you said, that's a good age. I'll think about it.
Yeah. It is a good age. And it was 10 a.m. But
it was 10 a.m.
I still might go back there, to be honest.
Now, I like a massage, and I get one wherever I can. But there's
you're married, aren't you, Tommy?
Therapeutic. the big risk you run is not the quality of the masseur or masseuse, because generally they're pretty good. Yeah. They know what they're doing, and I don't mind male or female. Cool with me.
Mm.
What bothers me is the choice of music.
Interesting.
During the procedure, isn't it
normally sort of rainforest noises?
Tony,
or...
you interesting. You mentioned this. I've ranked them in them from most common to less.
Oh, okay.
This is, Jay, first one up, please. This is what you'll often hear. That sort of.
Oh,
that's it.
Beautiful.
Bit of Enya.
Of course.
Enya, or if they can't afford the, you know, it's the Enya sound alike.
That's not. Ash, could you give me a back rub?
Do you know what? If you're listening to this driving in your car, just shut your eyes for a second.
Not while you're driving, Ash. Okay,
stop. Fine, Jay. I reckon we've got the. That's your standard massage. You know, that's your 30,
yep,
30
sure.
regular.
Yep.
Sometimes, if it's a little more kind of new age, hippie, say you're getting a massage in Byron Bay, you might get something a bit more like this.
Yes.
There
you go.
Tony, you mentioned it. It's the rainforest.
Yes. That's pretty good.
Well, Tony, I don't know. You say that, but active. Don't you feel a little...
No, you have to visit the gents in the middle of...
That's right. There's the thought that if I'm in a forest, there could be spiders.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Animals.
Yeah, no, I don't like that one. I don't like the cacophony of animals.
That's busy. That's a hell of a rainforest.
I don't find that as calming.
Neither do I.
Maybe if they were, say, just doing your shoulders and your neck, I could go there.
Sure. But not the immersive experience. I don't want to be transported to that. That's full of rabies, that one.
Okay, but if you really go super new age, and this is, we're talking crystals and a lot of complementary treatments along with your massage. I once had this.
Isn't that the noise the alien makes?
Yeah, you're close, Rob. It's whale.
Whales?
Whales.
What are they doing, these whales?
Farting.
That is frightening.
That's a little. Isn't that a little ominous?
Are we inside the whale?
It's a whale on the Dulcolax.
I guess there's this theory that whales have some sort of higher communication.
Where did that start? Where did Tone? Why do we put whales on such a pedestal?
We don't do it to tuna.
Exactly. You know, so, what have they ever done?
Well, there was an album. Remember, there was an album in the 80s of whale songs. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a single. It didn't. The Countdown Dancers didn't accompany it at any point. But there was a hit album of just whale songs.
Whale Direction. Yes. Now, how many?
I guess I feel. Led that I can handle Enya. Rainforest, I'm not crazy about. Whales going one too far. But really, all you want when you're having a massage is something to block out the sound of the people in the other booths also having a massage. Just, Jay, give me something a bit more like, that's all I want. That's what I want.
My band in there with you, Tommy.
That's it. Is that asking too much?
No. John Lemon, the Dancing with the Stars Orchestra.
Tommy, I think you'll find that somebody's, while you're getting a massage... Somebody might be receiving the rusty trombone in the next booth.
Rob.
But I can't hear it, Ed. That's the point.
Rob.
That is the point.
Don't look at me like that when you say rusty trombone.
You're opening a door here, Rob.
Yeah. We had Lawrence Mooney in here, and he did a whole episode on the rusty trombone, and Jay had to add a 90-second warning to the beginning of it.
It was a
disclaimer.
Disclaimer was the right word for it. Now, Rob, you were demonstrating something on the street before we came in here.
What was that?
A massage manoeuvre. Mm. If I was to try and turn the massage from medicinal to more amorous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it might be a hard thing to do, to describe, but in its subtlety, I thought it was quite brilliant. If you were, I told you a story about a very handsome actor that myself and Ash know that was in LA, and we saw him once, and he told us a story about how he was getting a massage with this lady, and then it turned very amorous, Tommy.
Right.
Very, very amorous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sort of a, yeah, anyway.
Big time amorous, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, the question was, I think effectively what Ed's getting to is this: the nexus of clinical to sort of sexual.
Nexus. Yeah.
And I think you know, being humans, we're so complex as a creature.
Isn't that right?
And there's so many opportunities to be businesslike, to be platonic, to be a great lover.
So far, this should be your Logie's intro. Next time you present an award. This is
so,
it.
So, but what I think it comes down to in this question that you're talking about, which is I have paid you, you know, sort of what the $70 for the head back or the full body with the oils.
Beautiful, 70 for a head.
And then at what point does it become something a little extra?
That's right.
And I think that really is then a question of a relationship between two creatures.
Isn't it?
I think we take the humanity away from it and we look at more as sort of responding organisms.
You know what I mean, Tone?
Yeah, well, didn't Lawrence Mooney claim that it came down to whether the open sign was flashing or not?
Which is the other way.
So, and I think if you take what I've said, the physical manifestation of that is a flashing open sign.
Yeah. Or the little cat statue with the arm going up and down. Okay. That's often an indication of which side of the ledge you're on.
Which side is it, Tom?
I'm not sure.
Ash, how many candles at your place?
20.
Now, this is new.
I own them all.
Yeah. Now, what's the candle? I understand there was a romantic evening the other day and you told me that part of the romance was that you had lit a number of candles.
So basically, my housemate has moved out and he took the power board. And the power board is attached to a lamp. So the lamp is now out of action. So I got all the candles in the house and I've lit them. And I've got to tell you, bloody, bloody relaxing.
Yeah. Did the sprinklers go off this time?
No. Funny you should say that though, Tone. I've got plants and I water them daily.
Scented candles?
Yeah, coconut and vanilla. Very relaxing.
Jeez. Cost for cost, power board versus 20 candles, where are we at?
Great call.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'm going to get the power board. It's actually written in my notes of things to do
today. Can we have the notes, please? Let's have a list.
What else is on that list? Why is the lamp out? Can't you just move the lamp closer to the PowerPoint?
Tony, no, don't be too deep.
No, because there's no ports there. And I've got the Foxtel connected and my brand new TV
as well. And the massage chair. So they're all plugged in.
The top one's funny, actually.
Oh, my God. The top one in notes. Well, there's one that says giveaway T-shirt on Instagram.
Oh, that's a marketing thing that I came up with last night.
Then the next one just says cat.
Yeah, that's the accountant, surely.
Nah, that one's gone.
Yeah.
And then the next one says barefoot Twitter block.
Yeah, the barefoot investor blocked me on Twitter. That's a different...
did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Is that because you were passing off his ideas as your own?
Yes.
Not unreasonable.
Absolutely, we're very similar.
And then the top one is who should I ask to marry me? And the two names, Robbie, Kylie Minogue / Nat Imbruglia.
Oh, well, lucky ladies.
Have you met either of those two women?
By this Saturday afternoon, I will have.
Right. Now, tell us all the situations. This is I've been hearing about this for a long time.
It's coming, mate. Seriously, this is it.
And so there's been a long run up to this. He's pushed off the back fence here, Tommy, in cricket parlance.
Mm. Yeah.
Talk us through, what is the event?
I talk about this every day with my friend JR. Okay, so for the last month, JR's dad is James Rain. And James Rain, as a singer you may know him from Australian Crawl, he's getting married this Saturday in Red Hill. Rock up if you'd like. And I am going...
Don't rock up.
JR's...
Don't rock up unless you're invited.
And I am going as JR's plus one, okay? And in attendance will be Natalie Imbruglia and Kylie Minogue.
And you're just going to propose to one of them, you can't decide which.
Oh, look, I'm not going to, I probably won't propose, but like, I think they're both single.
They are. Mm.
I'm
are
single.
They? Yep.
Yes.
I thought Kylie was married and engaged.
No. She's neither of those.
Both now. Over. Yep.
Mm. Yep. Both of those things are over.
She's unlucky in love.
But what about this guy, Mr. Candles?
Exactly.
Here comes Mr. Candles, Rocky Road.
Maybe
Madame.
She's a power board girl.
Exactly. Well, hang on. What do you guys think? I mean,
last...
You had to choose now. Right. Now, sorry. Yes, you go,
Ash. Well, no, last episode we were talking about this show called Ash of Love, which will be Ash and 10 of his ex-girlfriends. At the end of the series, he will propose to and marry one of them. And I think you got 6 possible contenders, and then you were going to bolster it with Natalie Imbruglia.
Yes.
And Kylie Minogue?
Yeah, they might not want to do it, but I reckon I can get the 10 now.
Yeah.
Okay. I reckon I can get 10. Well, that's a separate idea.
Now,
but
Tommy, have you, over the panel and over the years, have you interviewed both of those people?
Kylie, yes, but I don't recall
Tone?
Natalie.
Yes, Kylie Minogue was on Martin Malloy a couple of times.
Good sport.
Yeah.
She's a foot tall. She's literally is.
She's one large.
Photographs that make her look normal height are achieved with false perspective.
Are they? Peter Jackson's invented the technology.
Wow. So will you make your move, so to speak, during the ceremony or wait for the reception?
Great question.
Yeah. I think reception.
Yeah.
Okay. We let the formalities play out.
Let love have its place.
Absolutely.
Let the happy couple have their moment.
Absolutely.
Then
generous.
I'm going to roll in and get my Hugo Boss tuxedo ready to go.
Is that a plug?
It certainly is. Big shout out to them. And because usually they ask for the suit back, but they said, no, we loved your work at the Logies. You can keep the suit. That's a $3,000 suit.
That dancing to Malboy.
I'm
that's
serious.
Exactly the second. So you've now procured a $3,000 suit from Hugo Boss.
And Hugo Boss shoes worth $1,500. Boom, boom.
What's the total?
It's $4,500. I'm still counting. Got a shirt, I got a bow tie, and I got cufflinks. It's about $6,000 or $7,000.
Did they know you didn't have a ticket, mate?
Yeah. No way.
So you said, I'm going to the Logies, which was actually technically, I hope to be going to the Logies.
I'm going to Crown Casino. Absolutely.
See, I was actually legally at the Logies, and I got a Toblerone. So
is that a euphemism, Tone?
No. On this occasion, no.
Wowzers. So
I'll tell you what we let slip. Oh, no, let's get, sorry, yeah, let's keep going.
This is often what happens, yes. He is the master of creating slightly bizarre scenarios that lead to the ice being broken, Rob. Mm-hmm. Normal human approaches don't apply to him.
Here's what I was thinking. Kylie Minogue and I went to the same school.
Oh.
Love it.
All right. So I was going to go in and say, how are you going? Campbell High. Yeah. I went there for 1 year. I saw your picture on the wall. Lovely to meet you. I actually know where your parents live too.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's really going to have some leverage.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. Now what about Imbruglia?
Imbruglia, I go, you were great on Neighbours. You were married to Scott Michelson. I forgot his name. And what have you been doing for the last 30 years? But
I would mention the musical career, Ash, because there was,
Torn. She just played in Sweden. I actually Googled her last week just to be...
How was the gig in Sweden?
Fantastic. On the internet, I couldn't read a bloody drop of Swedish, but it looked like she really sold out.
Okay, so that's all fine. It sounds like you don't have a plan, and from my understanding is that's part
that
of being
the
in the
plan.
Moment. That's,
yeah,
that's
that
why
is the
we're
plan.
Here.
Yeah.
One thing we did let slip through to the keeper there, you are James Raines plus one. How on earth?
No. So not the singer. James Raine had a son, called him James.
All right. So you're his plus one.
I'm his son's plus one.
Okay.
Just friends.
All right.
Got it. All
right. Makes sense. And does the son have the same singing style?
He actually does.
Right.
He's in The Secret Daughter.
Yeah, he's in with Jess Malloy. That's why I was on the table.
Ah.
God. There's a lot to keep up with. This needs a fact sheet, this podcast, doesn't it?
Hey, you know what people are really into is that... So Tom, before we go, I've got to ask you this question. The castle, the picture of the castle, the poster for the castle in America, I saw it for the first time in and around your IMDb. Do you remember it at all?
No, because I know the Australian one was the slightly out of focus shot of the family and then a badly drawn aircraft.
Seriously,
over the top of
that plane, it's like something you used to draw on your ring binder at school with a felt pen.
So, on the one for the American, it says the castle, and he's sort of standing at they've moved the house back, and there's a slightly more believable
he's standing
plane.
Standing in the flannelette dressing gown, is with his hands on his hips.
And the quote above it is, "This year's full Monty."
Wow.
That's how they were selling it in America. I sort of, they're foreign, but they're funny.
Yeah, you can just about understand them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wouldn't remember any of this. I'm going to play a game called IMDb.
Sure.
Where you just stop me when I get to one. And if you've got an anecdote, if you've got a story, if you've got some slander, anything you like. Ready? Let's go. From The Degeneration, While You're Down There, The Degeneration.
Hang on a second. Buzz,
yes.
While You're Down There, that was the very first time I met Tom Gleisner, was on a taping of the second to last episode of While You're Down There, which was like Saturday Night Live, wasn't it?
Sort of, it was largely sketch comedy, but done in front of a live audience. It had Richard Stubbs,
Glenn Robbins,
Mark Neal, John Alsop,
Gina Riley, yes. Linda Hartley from Neighbours was in it.
Yes, yes, yes. Because this was a stage where the ABC was just churning out sketch series or something like them, one after another. So no sooner had the Degeneration packed up and moved on, they were the next one.
That was the next one. Mm. There you go. Okay, now we're going to move on to, thank you, Tom. Any others? Because I often ask you this and you either can't remember or can't be bothered. Hollow Men, Thank God.
Yep.
We've sort of covered that. I thought you wouldn't want to do that. Rob Carlton, your turn. Yours is really good fun.
It's quite long too. There's a lot to get through.
I don't
never stop scrolling if you go to
obviously
Rob's page.
Farscape,
Muggers, Do or Die, Water Rats.
Water Rats was a tricky premise, Rob, wasn't it? Because it was a great idea, exotic location, Sydney Harbour, cops, but to come up with sufficient crimes that all take place on the water.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think about three eps in, there was a homeless man clinging to a pylon. That was that episode.
What crime had he committed?
It was assumed. That was a struggle, wasn't it, I suspect, coming up with enough water aqua-based crimes.
Yeah, look, it was interesting. I think it was the same. There was the McElroys made Water Rats, and then they went on to make Sea Patrol.
Yes. Right?
So many years later, I got a phone call from the casting director saying, "Rob, do you want to come along and play this role in Sea Patrol?" And I said, "No, I have no interest at all. No interest at all. Really, got better things."
No worries, Rob. Do you have Steve Pastoni's number?
So I said that. No, I don't want to come and do that. And then I got an email from my agent saying, look, the casting agent, whom I knew well, and a lovely, lovely woman, has said, Rob, well, come on, please come in. We really think you'd be fantastic in this particular role.
So they're chasing you now.
And so then I got back to them and I said, yeah, well, I know I'd be fantastic too, because I played the exact same storyline in Water Rats 4 years before. Right, the exact same thing.
Exact same.
I think it was.
Oh, that's
I think
great.
It was an. It was the same one where I may have disposed of a body improperly. Anyway, it was. You know, the usual dispossessed father. Oh, sorry, no.
No, that was in Blue Heelers.
It wasn't Water Rats. It was the Blue Heelers role, yes, and that was the thing.
In Blue Heelers, you had a homemade bomb strapped to yourself, threatening to blow up the courthouse.
Again. You malign me. In the Search for Justice.
No, I didn't. No, that was Cavalier. The courthouse.
So, no, that was it. It was Blue Heelers. They're all blurring into one. Sure. I mean, the binding theme, and as you're going through this IMDb list of mine, I just get these flashbacks of the deaths.
It's going to be quite a montage
that I've suffered.
When you get the Lifetime Achievement.
Yes. The In Memoriam. Either way, Tony, it's going to be excellent.
It's quite something.
Now, obviously, we go full circle. Any questions for Ben and Hollow Men, which is, of course, Working Dog Productions, that you were in, Robbie Carlton.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Okay, now, Tony,
yes.
It is your turn, my friend. Okay, let's go through because let's go from Rove Live.
Yeah.
What did you do on Rove Live?
I was just plugging a book. I don't think there's a story there. Okay. I didn't get to take part in What The.
Now, what about Welcher and Welcher?
Oh, Welcher and Welcher.
What's the name of your...
Okay, I was sex shop proprietor.
Yes, you were.
And it was actually shot in a real sex shop on Glen Huntly Road, just around the corner from the ABC.
Wow.
And actual customers were just wandering in during the show, which was a Sean McAuliffe sitcom. But what I remember about that shop is, and I've got to be careful not to name any names, but we used to work around the corner, if you remember,
yes.
Tom, in Horn Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Horn Street is where the brothel, the Daily Planet, was.
Oh. With its discreet rear entrance.
But when we worked there,
pay extra.
That was where the ABC comedy department was. So there was the Daily Planet, which was a brothel that looked like a newspaper office. Then there was the Main Course, which was a brothel that looked like a restaurant.
Here we go.
And we were working in a building called Horn Chambers. So quite often we'd just be writing a comedy sketch, you know, something satirical about the 1980s and the new dollar coin or something. And a businessman would just knock on the door going, is this where? And we'd have to go, no, it's two doors there.
Thank you very much.
But, and I swear this is not made up.
Oh, my God.
On the other side of Horn Chambers was a furniture polishing company called S&M Furniture. They got a lot of unwanted visits.
That is such a nightmare for the casual John. Don't go down there. It is.
But I the courier.
But we've already mentioned John Alsop, who was actually the man who recommended that I end up working on The Degeneration, later wrote Brides of Christ.
Oh,
and I remember his hobby was he had a home video camera and he would set it up in the office and a businessman would pull in and go into the Daily Planet and then John would run out and put a note under the windscreen from that that person's wife going, can you pick up a carton of milk on the way home?
Good.
And then he just left the camera running, and then we'd play the footage back, and it would always be a man going, running off in a panic.
If you did that now, you would own YouTube. That's a zillion-dollar idea on YouTube these days. All right, we do almost have to get out of here, Jay. I understand the number of lessons. Yes, Ash, sorry.
No, mate.
I don't mean to interrupt. But
did I?
Do you have something from your IMDb that we
no.
should
cover?
No. The only thing that we...
He's moving on too quickly. I'm suggesting the answer is yes.
He's still thinking about Imbruglia.
No, because mate, I've got nothing. I used to pump up the IMDb when I was living in LA.
You used to pump up the IMDb? Or?
Did I ever tell you about the IMDb thing? Oh, it's a scam. So you can pay IMDb guys to pump up your ranking because you're ranked like as in like world's best actors.
Oh, so it's based on page views, isn't it? Is that how?
Yeah, and also credits.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes you're running hot and sometimes you're not. Ooh. And I remember I was ranked about 200,000th in the world. And you know, right, people were coming up to me in America going, what are you ranked? And I'm like, 200,000. I'm like, great.
Top half million, that's good.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's not high enough.
It does feel like you'd think they'd cap it at 50K.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, after that, who's counting?
Yeah. But Robbie, I had a mate who's very dodgy, and he said, listen, I can get you inside the top 5,000. I said, what do I need to do? He said, look, give us your credit card.
Well, you need 10 movies, and you need to be the lead in all of them.
Well, you don't. So do you remember I got inside the top 5,000 and I was ahead of Lockie Hume and you kept questioning me going, how come you're ahead of Lockie Hume?
Ah.
And I was, at this stage, I was like blowing up. People were coming up to me in the streets in LA going, you're on fire. Come in for an audition.
You're the new Antonio Sabato Jr.
I got that role. I did a movie called Misaloo, based in Venice, and I only got that role because the director said, listen, I've got to hire you because you're blowing up.
Can I tell you...
You're blowing up on IMDb.
Can I tell you about that film, Misaloo? Because I went with Ash for that meeting with that director, which was on the boat he lived on.
Nice.
So you did the audition on the boat.
And then swam home.
Good. With two dogs, I believe he had.
What sort of boat was it? Was it like a massive thing or more like the Minnow too?
A very small fishing trawler.
Yeah, right.
That you weren't legally allowed to live on.
No.
If anyone asks, he'd say, I don't live here.
Well, you had to do the auditions quiet. He didn't want anyone knowing that he was there.
And you had to throw in nautical terms every now and again.
Yeah, right. And but he was still able to get a top 5,000 actor to come through.
How did you get into the top 5,000? You haven't explained that.
Credit card, he mentioned.
No. You pay. It's called IMDb Boost. It's Boost. IMDbBoost.com or whatever. You pay. It's a bargain. It's $50 a month.
It's one of many lessons from today.
Had it.
And look, I mean, if I was still in LA, I'd be boosting hard, but I stopped boosting and now I'm at about 5 billion. But the funny thing is, with that Misaloo, the director, Trevor Sims, so Trevor, big shout out to you if you're listening, mate. He goes, Ash, do you want to hang around and read? I've got another actress coming in to audition. I said, no worries. So I'm doing the scene and this actress was French and she was just incredibly sexual. And things were getting out of control, and I could tell that she was going off script. And then he said to me...
He whispered to me, do you know the French for take off your panties?
No, exactly. He just said to me, Ash, get out of here, basically. Please leave.
Jump in the dinghy. off you go.
And so you left.
I left, and that was that. And I said, how'd you go? And he said, yeah, great. You know, she got the role, and she stayed the night. And now we're going out.
Yeah. Are they? How long ago was that?
4 years ago? 5 years ago? Oh.
They're regularly in breach of maritime law.
Oh, well, I don't mean, where do we even begin to try and wrap up? But no, Tommy, something then, Tone, this is something that's really starting to catch fire online is that Damien Cowell's wonderful album, Disco Machine, still available, Tone.
Yes, Get Your Dag On. And the first album is now back on iTunes.
Wonderful. But there's a song there. Where Damien Cowell talks about Waleed Ali, the human rights champion, about how he hopes that he doesn't... It's called Come On, Waleed, and it's about how he wants him to stay at the top of the tree that he is morally, because a lot of others have fallen by the wayside, Rob. He doesn't want that to happen to Waleed, and I understand that. But over the recent, I thought, well, it's going off that song. So we've been trying, Tommy, over the last few episodes of the team effort, to come up with a song that could perhaps be part of an all Waleed album.
Mm.
We call it Waleed album. Mm. And this is our latest effort.
Can you see Waleed tonight? Waleed reading Otoku. I saw him once on the cover of a magazine, wearing a suit. street and playing a guitar. Saw him once on the cover of a magazine, wearing a suit and playing a guitar, defending human rights, clutching loogies.
Not a dry eye in the house.
Wow, four people all reached for their headphone levels at the same time.
Up. They went up, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Jay, here we are.
Wow.
In the present moment. And what a number of moments we've created. We hope that you have taken something from this and you understand that it's about being in the moment. Don't look too far ahead or too far in the past. But with that in mind, Jay, over the last little while, what have we learned?
Sticking with IMDb, you mentioned your ranking. I don't know what your current ranking is, but you're currently down 4,752.
Oh,
I don't care.
Just over the course of this podcast.
Also on IMDb, you mentioned the film Never Say Die featuring John Clark.
Yes.
That was directed by a man named Jeff Murphy.
That's right. Who also directed the classic Goodbye Pork Pie, and his son has just directed a remake called simply Pork Pie.
I had Goodbye Pork Pie on their 1981 film. He also did Young Guns 2.
Yes, as well and Under Siege 2 as
Under
well
Siege
with Steven
Seagal. That's exactly
and Free Jack,
right.
You were about to say, with Mick Jagger and Emilio Estevez.
I love it.
Don't get into an internet battle with him, Jay.
One of our finest filmmakers from New Zealand.
Wow.
If the film has the number 2 in it, he's there.
He's there. But the classy two, the two sticks with the tops and the tails, not the number 2.
Roman.
The expanded team effort is all coming back together. We've mentioned Lawrence Mooney talking about Rusty Trombone. We mentioned Lucky Hume.
Yes.
And Lee Sales as well, and wondering whether or not Ash and Lee had a burgeoning thing. Oh, who knows?
Yeah, that's hard to know.
We say no. But Lee tweeted this about a week ago. For the movie buffs, my guest tonight on ABC 730 is one of the world's great film composers, Hans Zimmer. Which we asked, will there be plenty of Batman talk?
Yeah.
And Lee's response was, I knew I missed a question for Hans. How much rusty trombone do you use in your scores?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Well played, Lee. This podcast has corrupted Lee Sayles.
Exactly. Dragging her down to our level, yes.
Or Tom, she's left deeply confused. I'd hope that it's the latter. It's not that she wouldn't be throwing rusty trombone questions.
No, she would. I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty good mates with her now. And yep, that's Lee.
Tom, you mentioned massage music.
Yes.
Now here's a few team effort massage songs. Just one from the vault.
That is the theme to
The Daryl Summers Show, 1982 to 1983.
Yes. It's saying head and shoulders to me.
Yeah.
Here's another potential massage song.
Beautiful.
Oh, Buble. Now, Rob, you should have acknowledged that quicker. Here he goes. Yeah, now he's got there. Yeah, that's a leg and buttocks one.
Actually, you know what that sounds like? Can you just start that one again? Just start from the beginning. You know what that sounds like? Welcome back.
Oh, yes.
Welcome, Connor.
Welcome back. And a touch of the Snappy Tom theme as well.
Yes.
Goes always.
The names have all changed since it's been.
Welcome back.
Oh, wow, that was quick.
Where
did you find that so fast? Why is that in the Triple M system? Who's doing that?
There's all sorts of things.
Place that's great. Excellent work. Thank you, Jay.
Well, it will be the final, very final massage song from Team Effort.
I like your packs around your face.
That's where they got to go.
Very similar to your catchphrase, Robbie.
Yes, not dissimilar. Not dissimilar.
Catchphrase. That's
pants around your feet, take off your panties. I go with mine every time.
Absolutely. Tweet Nickelback quickly.
Thank you so much to you, Tony. Any plugs, my friend?
Just Damien Cowell's Disco Machine.
Yes.
Get Your Dag On, available on all of the platforms.
Of course it is. Tommy Gleisner.
Indeed. Oh, have you been paying attention?
Yeah,
Monday evenings on your Channel 10.
And Pacific Heat?
Yeah, Wednesday night on on Channel 11. We're a part of the digital animation.
Revolution.
Indeed.
It's a revolution. Excellent. Robbie Carlton.
Yeah, no plugs for me, but a big shout out to Ace Buck and Maddie Wilkinson that are over there surfing in Brazil at the moment. They're my local boys. I'm a big surfing fan.
Oh.
Go Wilco, go Ace.
Go, amazing. Would they be stoked?
They'd be stoked.
Yeah.
They'd be stoked.
I think they would be.
They'd be very stoked.
Ash.
No plugs, but I'm doing free.
I'm doing free t-shirts
on my Instagram next week. Okay, it's at AshWilliams1. You get to keep the t-shirts, and
that'd be free.
They are. Then they're $30 each. They cost me $30 of my own money.
Mm-hmm. And so, judging on the 40,000 dip in your bank account, you've printed a few of them.
Well, I pay for them on credit card, Robbie, so technically I didn't pay for them, so we're good. But, you know, get involved.
Thank you to Triple M for housing our nonsense. Jay, thank you to you, of course, as
anytime.
Always, our producer and fact checker. This is the team effort. Please, as you go walk blinking back out into the world, just take a moment. Take a moment, look around, and think to yourself, am I in the moment right now? Am I thinking about how much I owe on credit cards? Have I given out my address on a podcast that goes out nationally? Have I done any of these things?
Say hello to someone. If you're in the supermarket now and you're listening to this on an iPad or an iPod, turn around. Say to someone, hey, how you doing? You know, why not?
And a big shout out to you, Natalie Imbruglia.
Absolutely.
The new Mrs. Williams.
Or Kylie Minogue. We don't know. Anyway, I'll update you, Ed. It's going to be a big Saturday. I'm fired up.
Thank you all.